Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Talking some NBA hoops, Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Steve, how you doing today, man? What's up?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. So first and foremost, I want to ask you, because when we look at this Bucks team right now, we're somewhat scratching our head. It started out so good after the Bledsoe deal. Now they've lost a couple of games, and things have not been as rosy as maybe we had hoped. But is this just, you're going to live with this, some up and down stuff when you're talking about a younger ball club right now trying to find their way?
Well, I think there's some of that. I mean, the shortage of intensity that they brought to the games against Dallas and Washington, to me, were a sign of an immature, still developing team. They get a little bit of success with that 4-0 run with Bledsoe, and maybe they think, oh, it's going to be, easier than we figured. And sure enough, they go and they lose in Dallas to a bad Mavericks team. And then, last night, Washington is, on par. That's where the Bucks want to be. I mean, you got to get to Washington and Toronto before you get to Cleveland. And they weren't up to the challenge last night. So I think some of that is, the life cycle and their growth. On the other hand, I also think that part of it is the whole Bledsoe thing. I think when you bring in a key player like that, there's a learning curve, and maybe it didn't show up in those first four games because of the adrenaline and the impact that he had defensively and on their pace. But you look at their shooting. I mean, in four of the six games, they've been below 28% from the three-point line. It's a matter of Bledsoe learning his teammates learning Bledsoe learning the system, still trying to carve out his own little role. And I think that, teams have, in the meantime, opponents have just sort of gone ahead and said, well, we're going to defend Giannis the way we feel we have to, take him away as much as possible. You saw that last night with the Wizards. I mean, they threw numbers at Giannis. And it's on the Bucks to counterpunch now.
You wrote a really interesting piece the other day with Jason Kidd, and you talked about his experiences and how that relates to some of the young guys today. What did you learn talking to Jason Kidd coming out of that piece regarding point guard play in the NBA?
Well, it's the quarterback position. I talked with Jason Terry last night after the game, and no Bucks fan who also has any affinity for the Packers wants to relate this to an Aaron Rodgers, Brett Hundley thing. But, when you change your quarterback, or when you, add a quarterback, even is with what the Bucks have done with a point guard, you're changing up quite a lot of things. So, it really is on everybody involved. And whether you do that during the games, as they've had to do with their schedule lately, whether you familiarize yourself on the practice court, or whether you do that, off the floor, either on the side in video or just by hanging out and talking and learning each other, I think that process has to go on. Jason Kidd, he's Hall of Fame bound as a point guard. Now, he ought to be able to translate that, or at least a good amount of what he learned in that career, to his guys. Now, whether they can put that into practice or not on the court, is really going to be on them. He can't play the spot for them.
The message from Jason Kidd, albeit he's trying to, kind of develop the point guards and make them into distributors and such, on the other hand, he's been a guy that's emphasized the defensive end of the basketball. And I have said time and again, when this team buys in and they play that energized style of play, it's like they're a different team. Last night you saw them kind of flat-footed, standing around, having guys shoot the gap and pick up some offensive boards on them. It just seems like at times it's one of those difficult things to do and keep consistent on a night-in and night-out basis.
Yeah, I think teams are maybe caught up to them a little bit. So much was made about the Bucks and their wingspan and how athletic and how they can get their hands on balls and all that sort of thing. But I mean, if you get beat, if a pass, sort of breaks down your defense, you need to be able to help better. They got beat repeatedly in the paint, particularly in the first half when Washington, took control and then asserted itself in that third quarter. They've got to do better there. I mean, they've had, a couple games ago, they had a ton of blocked shots, was it against the Lakers or whatever. But, that's a tactic of last resort You don't want to rely on that. You want to take away good shots and, you know, cut down passing angles and all the basic stuff. And sometimes it seems like the Bucks don't heed that. Their minds wander a bit.
So, looking forward for this Bucks team as they continue to gel, how big of an asset is Bledsoe ultimately? When that deal went down, I think there were a lot of people here really happy to see a guy that was going to be somewhat of a facilitator, take maybe a little bit of the scoring onus off of Middleton, and then you just hope that you're hanging around, or even playing good basketball by the time it's ready for Jabari Parker to come back, and that's like a mid-season free agent acquisition.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. I think it's going to help them a lot long-term. He's good at, you know, both ends of the floor. He made his name. His calling card early in his career was as a defensive pest. He's strong. He's sturdy. He goes down. He bounces back up. Not to jinx him or anything like that, injury wise. But I do think that he is. I talked to John Wall last night, who went to Kentucky with Bledsoe. The fact that that one team on those one and done, five guys all drafted in the first round, including, you know, two very good point guards off the same college team in Bledsoe and Wall. And the way Wall looked at it is he says, you know, Malcolm Brogdon is a very good player, and he'll continue to be. But he said he felt like this Milwaukee team was missing one more starter, one more potential star starter. And, you know, Bledsoe, he thinks, and I tend to agree with Wall, can be that guy. I mean, he was a near all-star during his time with the Suns, and like I say, the way he has the Bucks playing faster, when he starts to hit his own shots with a little bit more reliability, I think he'll make a big difference. And, you know, then we'll see how they, you know, run through the gears when Jabari comes back and what that asks of everybody involved.
Real quick before I let you go, as you run through, say, the first quarter of this season, what stands out to you the most right now?
Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to the point of stunned by the Philadelphia 76ers. Not just the success that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid have had, but that team, you know, staying above water with the schedule that they've played. They've already played their games for the season against Golden State, Houston, and Utah. You know, and you know, they're standing. I think they're what, 2-4 maybe against those three teams. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is a team that doesn't even have a culture of trying to win games, much less winning games. So, you know, that to me has been really, really impressive. And you have to still be impressed with what Boston has done. I was in Cleveland that first night when Gordon Hayward went down with that ghastly injury. And you thought, you know, this is going to undermine their season. They're going to be a 500 team. Forget about it for this year. And they took off after their first two losses. So, you know, I'm impressed with that. I picked Brad Stevens to be Coach of the Year in my preseason picks, and I think I'm looking pretty good at this point. Not that that was any, you know, great insight, but he has been a big difference for that Celtics team. So, you know, I'm impressed with that. And, you know, now I think we're almost at a point with Giannis and his, you know, what shaped up to be a breakout season and still might be. But it's kind of like, you know, ball players, baseball players, when they go through the league a time or two, and then all of a sudden, you know, pitchers start to catch up with hitters and vice versa. And I think now it's going to be on the Bucks as a team to find ways to not just lean on Giannis and let him do everything, because he's going to have to do everything against every defender now. So, you know, they really have to keep defenses honest and take some of the burden off of him.
Steve, great stuff. We appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
You got it, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com. Some really good stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.